In Matthew chapter 13, so if you'll find that and stand with me, we'll read our text tonight, Matthew chapter 13. We'll be finishing up the chapter that we started in Sunday school this morning and did a few of the parables both in Sunday school and the main message this morning, and we'll be seeing how Jesus closes off this section in starting in verse number 53. Matthew 13, verse 53. Okay. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon, and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Now I want you to note what it says in verse 58. "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And that's the sad news of that this passage right here. The implication of this is Jesus could have done great works, but his ministry was limited. He wasn't able to do great works. Let's all read verse 58 together. Let's read it together. Let's begin. "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." We'll be talking about this tonight. God can do so much more. Amen. God can do so much more. Let's pray about that. Father, I pray your blessings on the message tonight. I pray that you'd help our hearts to be open to receive what you have for us. I pray for clarity and wisdom. I pray for power and strength from you to be able to say what you would have me to say. I pray your spirit would flow from the message into the hearts of your people. I pray your work would be done. We'll give you glory for what you do tonight. Help our hearts not to be distracted. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated. Let's give attention tonight. I know that we've went long already, but I'll do my best to go through this. But I know that God has something important for us tonight. The title, again, is God Can Do So Much More. And often we need to hear messages like this because the ministry of God is limited in our life because we have experiences that cause us to become discouraged. We have things that happen in our life that cause us to wonder about not just God's goodness, but the work of God in our life. Maybe you've heard this before. It's like somebody who gets bucked off of the bull. You know, Brother David was mentioning about bull riding, and it started in Texas. It's ironic because I actually have a bull riding example. Now think about this with me. Why would somebody strap themselves to a 2,000-pound, you know, wild animal that's pure muscle, and his 100% desire is to get you off of there? Okay? And listen, when you're riding a bull, it's very rare. It would be my guess. It's very rare that you're just going to slip off of that thing. You know what I mean? And you're riding a bull and you're like, oh, that was good. Do you ever see that? Even the guys who do a good job, no, they fly off of it and they're flailing everywhere. And their legs are going one way, their arms are going another way, and you're thinking, I'm not sure he's going to be able to walk after that. You know? That's how sometimes we feel when we're trying to live for God. We're just trying to do what God wants us to do, and we get bucked off and we get thrown off and it's painful. And we're wondering, why is this happening? I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I'm trying to move forward for Him and be a glory to Him. And it's you know, it's like riding a bull sometimes. I also had this memory too. I remember when Grant and Caleb were real small and they had, you know, in diapers. And I have this image of them. Now, come on, guys. This is really good. I want you to hear this. This is a great memory. And so we got them some Lincoln Logs, and I have this memory of them sort of being in the living room, and Grant did not have the attention span to build Lincoln Logs. But that was right up Caleb's alley. He's like, man, this is This is awesome. So he builds this tower with all the Lincoln Logs and puts the roof on top. And like in the background, Grant was waiting for him to finish. You have to imagine him, no clothes, just a diaper. And out of nowhere, I'm sitting on the couch. Caleb puts the roof on top and he's like, it's done. What do you think, Daddy? And Grant's like running in slow motion in the background. Diaper flapping in the back. He's just running. And then he drop kicks Caleb's tower of Lincoln Logs. And Caleb says, no, it's all in slow motion. Destroyed. And then he gets to the other side of it. And he throws, this is Grant, by the way, throws his hands on his knees and just laughs. Do that again. Build that again. Caleb's like, I quit. I never want to do this again, you know. And I think sometimes our life for God is like that. It's like you're trying to build something. You're trying to move forward. You're trying to do something for God and put it together. And then out of nowhere, something comes along the way and kicks it all out from underneath you. And it makes you wonder, like, are we going to be bucked off of the bull trying to live for God? Is someone going to come along the way and kick down what we're trying to do for the Lord? And really, along the way, we have these experiences, and it makes us wonder about the work of God. The disciples would need to know that this kind of thing is going to happen. The disciples would need to have a strength to understand that this kind of experience is going to happen in their life. And then also, along the way, there are things that God wants to do, and he becomes limited in what he wants to do. And the reason why is because of the unbelief of God's people. The unbelief of the people that God wants to work in their life. And that's what we see in our story. Look at verse number 53. It came to pass when Jesus finished the parables, he departed thence. Look what it says in 54. And when he was come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. So the way that it would happen is there would be a synagogue service. And in the midst of a synagogue service, there would always be a time or an invitation for somebody to come and deliver a message from the congregation. You know, we kind of like do that. Whenever we have blessings time, we give invitation to anyone in the auditorium, and you can deliver a message to God's people of encouragement. And so the invitation would have been given, and Jesus spoke in the synagogue, and he is in his preaching and in his message and in his ministry. It does something what the Bible describes as they were astonished. Now, this wasn't a good kind of astonishment. This was something that stirred them up. It made them upset. It made them wonder about the message that he's giving. In other words, they wondered about the authority of the one that's delivering the message. Why? Because they remembered his family. They would have known Joseph, his father, in the background of being a carpenter. As a matter of fact, that's what it says in verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? His mother called Mary. So they're remembering his family. And this would have caused them to wonder about Jesus' authority to say the things that he's saying. I mean, who is this man to come along and to say these things that he's saying? And so his ministry became hindered because they didn't want to hear what he was saying, because they were relating him to his family. They were struggling to make that connection of him having authority and the family that he came from. But also they would have understood this, that Jesus perhaps didn't have some of the formal training, being brought up in a carpenter's home and being a carpenter himself. He didn't have the pedigree of somebody that would have been like a Pharisee. And so they would have said, he doesn't have the credentials to teach a message like this. He doesn't have the authority to say the things that he's saying. And you might remember in chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, and he preached that sermon with great authority, and it was messages that they had never heard before. And it was confirmed with the miracles. And even as it is stated here, look at verse, verse number 54 there at the end. Insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So they're hearing his message, they're hearing his mighty works, but get this, they're not listening to him. Now think about that. somebody brings a message from God and delivers it to God's people, and something causes them to say, well, I don't need to listen to this, or I don't want to listen to this. This message isn't for me. That's what they're saying. And they had the excuse that Jesus wasn't an authority, and we know his family, the Bible says they were offended in verse number 57. They were offended, and so this caused them to say, we don't want to hear this message. We don't have anything to do with this man. That word offended is the Greek word scandalizo. It's literally the word the Greek word we get our English word scandalous from. And so they saw him as a scandal. They saw him as a stumbling block or an impediment in their development or in their life. They saw him as a hindrance. And so they wouldn't listen to him. They were offended. They had no interest in the message that he was delivering. Look what it says next. Verse number 57, they were offended in him. Look what it says next. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. So Jesus identifies this issue of those that were hearing the message, but they weren't getting the message. They weren't listening to the message. They could have had an opportunity to hear from Jesus, the Son of God. They could have had a message from the Son of God to work in them and develop them, but they didn't get it. Why? Because they were offended at him. They had a problem with him. And whatever it was that they saw in him, it became scandalous in them, meaning a stumbling block to them. And they wouldn't listen. And so because they wouldn't listen, verse number 58 says he did not many mighty works there. And that's the sad news. That Jesus wanted to do a great work in this city, the place of his hometown, where people would have known him and his family. He wanted to do a great work there, but they wouldn't listen to him. They were offended. What's that mean? It means God wanted to do a great work, but his ministry was hindered because the people wouldn't listen to the message. They wouldn't listen, and it hindered God's work. That happens today. I'm going to guess that it's probably happening tonight. Where God wants to do a great work in our lives, but his work, his ministry is hindered. His message is hindered in our life. Jesus said that it's because of their unbelief there at the end, because of their unbelief. So their unbelief stopped the work of God. It stopped God from doing what God wanted to do in them. Kind of reminds me of teenagers or young people who are growing up and they're trying to discern what they're going to do with their life. Maybe it's in their mind, or it ought to be in their mind, what does God want me to do in my life? But then there's this paradox that happens in our thinking. Paradox meaning two contrasting ways of thinking. Like this way of thinking and this way of thinking, and they go against each other. But they both seem like the right way. For example, should I pursue something that is going to give me a lot of money, or that is going to give me enough money, or should I be thinking about this, or should I just be thinking about what does God want me to do? You know? And as a motive in our thinking, these two things can become paradoxical for young people. Well, not just for young people, but for all of us, but for a young person who's trying to decide what they're going to do for their life. And so they're thinking about, well, what am I going to do for my future? Am I going to pursue something that is something that I can build a career out of, and I can make some money, and we can survive, and we can have, you know, just have a good living? Or am I going to do something, or am I just going to set that aside as a motive, and am I just going to pursue what God wants me to do? Now, I think about it like this. As a parent, I ask myself this question: what would I rather my children do? And the answer is pretty obvious, but I still ask myself this question sometimes. What would I rather my children do? in their life? Would I rather them be able have enough money that they're going to be comfortable and they're going to have the possessions and have a comfortable life that way? Would I rather them have that or a deep love for God? Amen. Well, we would all say we want our children to have a deep love for God. But what if having a deep love for God and a pursuit of God means you're not going to maybe have all of the possessions? Because sometimes it means that. Then that's when it becomes paradoxical. And we wonder, well, which way is the right way to go? And it becomes hard sometimes to let God work, to receive the message, because of the way that we think about how God works and how our future will be. The Bible says that their unbelief stopped the work of God. It hindered the work of God. And God wants to do a great work, but for God to do a great work in our life, we have to receive His message. Our thinking has to be in a place where our focus is on Him. Our love, our commitment is on Him and on obedience to Him. We have to be thinking that way. We have to be thinking, okay, so I want to do what God wants me to do. And that means sometimes I can't be motivated by other things. You know, sometimes doing what God wants me to do allows for other things to be a part of my life. But sometimes being obedient to God and doing what He wants me to do will cause me to not have some of these things. So what do? We have to believe God. Amen. We have to say, I believe Him. I want to follow Him. I want to be obedient to Him. And that belief, that faith, that trust, that moving with God and listening to His message and letting Him work is what will bring the work of God into your life. He'll work in your life. He'll do a great work. The title tonight was God Can Do So Much More. Do you know why I think sometimes God can do so much more in our life? Is because we hinder His work because of our unbelief. We hinder what He wants to do in us because we're not in a position to hear the message. Sometimes we're just not in a position to hear the message at all. God wants to work in our family. He wants to work in our job situation, in our finances. He wants to help us in our emotions. He wants to strengthen us in the areas of life where we're weak. He wants to do this work in us, but His work is hindered. And sometimes, you know why His work is hindered? Because we just won't show up. We're just not here. It's like, I want God to do a great work. Amen, me too. Where are you? Because it's paradoxical to say, I want God to do a great work. Amen. We all want God to do that. But you're not going to see and watch God do a great work if you're not here. You see, there were a group of people who could have had God do a great work in their town and in their families and in their life. But the problem was very simple. They rejected the message. They didn't want Jesus to come. They wouldn't allow Him to come and to do a great work here. And so it says in the scripture that He did not many mighty works there. It says because of their unbelief. I think that we can easily make the connection that it's not because God doesn't want to do a great work in your life. It's sometimes God wants to do so much more in your life, in our lives, but we're not here. Have you ever heard this? That probably the message that we really needed to hear was the message that was delivered when we weren't here. You know? This isn't like one of those sugar stick sermons, you know? We need to be here. You know, we need to be here.
Right.
And so God works through his word. He works through his message. And he wants to do a great work. Think about this. It's sort of like somebody who has a gym membership and expects that is what's going to make them in shape. But you don't go to the gym. Like, man, I have a gym membership. Oh, good. But you don't go, so it's not going to help you. You know, we have to be here. So that's one side of the coin. Let me give you the other side. Sometimes people want God to do a great work in them, and they come, but then when they're here, they won't listen. They won't surrender. It's like in James chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Remember that passage?
Right.
Deceiving your own selves. We miss out on what God could have done because we won't listen to what he's saying to us. I feel like this is me, this one. I feel like sometimes there is a work that God wants to do and I miss out on it. Because I won't listen to him. Listen to this this quote that I found. It was a moment of brutal and unexpected honesty. When a man was in a song service singing as loudly as he could, the people around him were looking at him strangely and uncomfortably as he sang. It wasn't his singing voice, but it was his lyrics. Everyone else was singing the classic hymn, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way." However, this man was singing a different and perhaps more honest song. He was singing, "Have mine own way, Lord, have mine own way." He was singing with all his might, "Have mine own way." And so we can hinder God's work in our life. And sometimes it's not because we're not here, but when we're here, because we won't listen to what he is leading us to do. We miss out on it. I was thinking specifically about this recently, about invitation time. You know, I was talking, even we had lunch with a sweet family today, and it was great, and I was even visiting some with him about it. And sometimes there is such great pressure and expectations that I feel. And I think I do it to myself, you know? Like I want my sermons to be a certain way. And whenever it's not landing like it should, I know it's not going good, you know? And it frustrates me. And then there's invitation, you know, and sometimes it's easy to judge whether or not the church is going well or a sermon goes well, based on invitation or how people respond or all of those kind of things. And I think, you know, the church will grow or the church won't grow because of how good of a pastor I am or how good of a preacher I am or whether my sermons are, you know, good or they're not good. And so I have all these thoughts and this pressure, you know, that's there. And then I'm thinking about invitation time and what causes somebody to want to go to the altar, you know? Like, oh man, that was a very good sermon, you know. Not very many people came to the altar, and it might be part of it. You know, it might be part of, we're talking about God wants to do so much more. And I think about that. Like, God, is that true for me? Where you want to do so much more? And I wonder, is that what the result is of God doing more? Is more people coming to the altar, you know? or more people getting saved, or whatever it is. And I think, like, well, what is it about me that maybe hinders what God wants to do? And I think along the way that there are things that I either do or don't do that kind of bring a hindrance to what God wants to do at Western Hills. You know, through the messages, through the invitations, and through all of what we do and how God wants to work in lives. And he's really working on me about this. Is there something, God, is there an unbelief in me that causes me to, you know, to hinder what you're going to do? You know, what is it about the ministry? What is it about the messages? What is it about all these things? You know? And I think there's something there. You know what? I would be honest with you if I could put my finger on it, Brother David. If I could tell you exactly what it is, and I could put my finger on it, then I would tell you right now. Because you know how you were saying how transparent you are? I would do that right now. I don't know what it is. Amen. I know I want to see God do more.
Amen.
There's kids that, and I don't want to be mean, okay? But there's kids that they talk all while I'm preaching. Teenagers in here. There's kids that goof off. There's people, I mean, listen, I don't want to be upset about this. I don't want to just get on. But here's what I want to do. I want to see God do something more. Amen. And I wonder, what is it? God, what is it that's going to make something more happen? Do I need to do better sermons so that people will pay attention and stop talking while I'm preaching? Well, this isn't a very good one. I'll be honest with you. I don't feel like this one's going very good. But here's the point. That's not the answer anyway. It's not like, well, we need to have better stories, you know. Well, that was a good message. You had great stories in that one. Is that what it is? Do I need I need more time then, man? I need to figure out some stories that'll make us laugh and have a good time, you know, and maybe that's part of it. You know, and I know that I need to put more work into my messages. And I know that I need to do more here, but that isn't what's gonna cause God to do more.
Right.
It's our unbelief that hinders it.
Right.
And I know it's me. And I have some of this. And it could be that we all have a touch of this. There's unbelief there. And we want God to do something more, but there's unbelief. And it hinders His work. Here's what He wants to do. More.
Amen.
He wants to do more.
Right.
And so, A, we know we have to be here. We said that. Might not be comfortable to hear it, but it's true. And number two, not just be here. We need to listen.
Amen.
And we need to, when He works in us, we need to surrender. I believe that there's something that God wants to do that's more than what we're seeing Him do. I remember it was a revival, Brother Kenny Baldwin. Do you ever hear Brother Kenny Baldwin preach? Okay. Amazing preacher. He's preaching. It was a revival service in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I knew I was in Bible college. I knew he was preaching. I'm like, well, we're going to go to that one of those services. It was like Thursday or Friday night. We showed up, and I'm telling you, there was nowhere to go. I mean, that church was so packed. People were standing on the sides. People were standing in the back, and there was no aisle. It was just chairs, and there were so many people in each pew. I mean, but everybody who was in the pew, it was shoulder to shoulder, but they were happy they had a seat, you know. That's how packed it was. He preaches the message, and he gets to the invitation. And it was, the altars were flooded, and the invitation went on for 45 minutes.
Wow.
At least. Wow. Like, well, we need to keep singing. We need to keep seeing. We need to keep opening the invitation. People are coming. People are getting right with God. People are crying, and God is doing a great work. And here's what I want to see. I want to see God do something like that here.
Amen.
Like, oh, are we going to have a long invitation tonight? I'm not saying that I'm like calling for that. I'm just saying I believe that God can do something more.
Amen.
But He's hindered. because we won't listen. It has to be. Either we're not here or we're not listening. Because this was the spirit of those that hindered the work of Jesus in this town. They wouldn't listen to him. For whatever reason, they were offended. And they weren't interested in listening to his message. There was an atheist teacher who lived in the last century. He stopped in the middle of one of his lectures about against God. Listen to what he said. He said, "I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things that I've said." And then he was silent for 5 minutes, waiting for God to strike him dead. He wasn't struck dead. He wasn't. Somebody told the incident to a great Christian named Theodore Parker, as the quote goes. And Parker smiled and said these words. Listen to this. "Did this gentleman think that he could exhaust the patience of the eternal God in 5 minutes?" And maybe we haven't seen God work, but you know what we haven't done? We haven't exhausted the patience of God. He's just waiting. He's just waiting. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for us to trust him, to believe him. He's working behind the scenes. I remember one time when I was in college, computers were just coming out. I'm talking about, you know, personal computers at the home, at the house, and I did not know how to work it. Windows had just come out, and I pulled up a Word document, and I'm typing my paper for class, and I was not a good typer either. It took me forever. And I'm typing my paper for class, and I get to the bottom of the page, and I didn't know how to make it go to the next page. I didn't know you could just keep typing and it would go to the next page automatically. I didn't know that. So I'm looking on all these buttons on there, and I'm like, which one of these makes it go to the next page? And at the very top, I saw this blank paper icon. And I'm like, well, maybe that's what goes to the next page. And I pushed the blank paper icon, and all of my paper just disappeared. What just happened? I was like, wow, don't push the blank paper button. My sermon's gone. Or not my sermon, my paper's gone. But you know what? I was like, well, throwing something isn't going to help. I wanted to throw something. I just retyped it. And I just retyped it, kept typing, and went to the next page. Oh, okay, that works. Kept typing, finished the paper, printed it. Closed it out at the top. As soon as I closed it, that window closed. Guess what was on the other side of the window? The other paper. It was still there. I just didn't know that it was behind the scenes. It was already there. Behind the scenes. That's how God is. He's already there. He's ready. He's just waiting for us. Can I tell you, this is for me. I need to go sit down and then just, we need to hear all this. He's there. He's just waiting for us. I want to finish with this. God will do great things. We have to show up. We have to listen. We have to surrender. And I don't know. I don't know on the invitation and how God works, how you know what he does and what he doesn't do. That's his business. But let's make a choice that we're not going to hinder the work of God through our unbelief. So ask yourself this question tonight. God, are there times that I could be here? I could be here, but I'm not. Sometimes you're providentially hindered, and I get it. It doesn't mean you don't have challenges. You do. You still, even though you're providentially hindered, you still have challenges. But can I be here? Then you need to be here. And number two, is God working in your heart? Will you listen to him? Will you let him work? And you do those two things and God works in you, and you know, we'll watch him do things. We'll watch him do a work that's more than what we even thought. Father, tonight we thank you for the message and how you've worked in us. I think about this thought of this point that you want to do more, or that you can do more. And Lord, I know that obviously, and I shared it tonight, it's transparent with the church, that I'm burdened about wanting you to do more and the concerns that I have and on all those things. And Lord, I want to be patient because I know it's your work. And it might be, Lord, that you do want to do more, but there's hindrances there. I pray that you'd help us to see it. Would you remove our unbelief? Would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to be in a position where we'll hear the message first? And then, Lord, would you help us to be in a position where we'll trust you and we'll obey you and we'll move, Lord, in obedience because we believe you. And God, for anyone here that perhaps was encouraged or touched or convicted even by the message tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd give us courage to come and to do business with you. We'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God's worked in your heart. You come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me.
Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's just take our time tonight. I know it's late, but let's just pray for a little while. We need this invitation. I know I do. I need to pray a little more. Just sing the chorus all together. Let's sing that together. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Well, I want you to know that I am not mad at anybody. After that sermon, I want you to know that